A lot of smart people don't feel so smart when it comes to their money. So Morgan Stanley made a podcast to help. Listen to What Should I Do With My Money? To hear real people ask real questions about money and get helpful answers from experienced financial advisors.
What's going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase. Tonight, the Rams go from two joint practice teams down to zero. Also, Skip Bayless makes some comments that makes us all believe that he doesn't even really watch football. And can Cam Newton really help the Rams offense? Find out next on Rams Showcase.
Welcome to Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio.
What's going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase right here on Sports War Radio. I'm your host, Joe Branham, but you can and should call me Sheriff Joe Bags. Laying down the law for you guys tonight. Pretty cool stuff for you guys. We're going to talk about Cam Newton because this topic is coming up quite a bit. So we will definitely talk about that. Skip Bayless, does he actually watch the game, or is he like just a Cowboys fan that checks stats? We will find out. Not a whole lot of news to get into for you guys, but we do bring back some fan quesos. We will talk about the Rams cap situation heading into next year. We'll talk about that because it's June, which is one of the roughest months for NFL news. And on top of it being June, we're also in the middle of a lot of wildness in the world right now. So sports news, not necessarily at the forefront. But you know what? We're still making it, and we're still talking Rams. But first, before we get started, this episode is brought to you by Shaw's Customs. Visit Etsy.com/shop/Shaw's Customs to pick out the dopest vinyl decals from Rams logos to attacking Carol Baskin. Proudly display what's most important to you on your car, house, PS2, laptop, or get creative and find new wacky ideas of where to put your new easy-to-apply vinyl decals. Tell Josh that the sheriff sent you. You won't get a deal, but he'll definitely get a kick out of it. I will throw the link in the description. No matter where you're listening, you will be able to click the link below, whether that's the YouTube channel or if you're just listening on iTunes or any of those. We will make sure that you have a link to do that. And we'll also, you know, we're bringing back some trivia questions. I've got a trivia question for you guys already locked and loaded. I've already got it. But here's the deal. That's going to be at the end of the YouTube video. So if you guys are just solely an audio listener, you guys unfortunately are not even going to hear the trivia question to be able to answer. And then I need those answers in the YouTube comment section. That is the only way that you can be entered to win. And what will happen is the winners, a little gnat flying around my face here. The winners, there's going to be a few winners, and hopefully, and we'll select of the correct answers. We will select at random some winners, and you'll be able to pick out your own cool decal. It doesn't have to be Rams related. It can just be anything. If you guys feel like you have the right answer, you can head over to Etsy.com/shop/Shaw's Customs. And that's Shaw's Customs is S-A-A-W-S Customs, C-U-S-T-O-M-S. So head over there and then you can maybe check one out. And then if you are a winner, we will contact you. And then you can pick out whatever one you want, which is pretty sweet stuff. But we'll get to the trivia question stuff later on the YouTube channel. So if you guys have not already, make sure you guys subscribe to the Ram Showcase YouTube channel. Just go ahead and hop onto YouTube and search Ram Showcase. It truly is that easy. It's a Ram Showcase. Typing those words in leads you to me every time. I'm pretty confident about that. Let's see. I also wanted to throw this out there. I know there's a lot of companies out there, a lot of you listeners out there that are Rams fans. You have businesses that relate to the Rams in some capacity, and I fully support you 100%. I support you. So what I need you guys to do, if you guys want to help out the show and vice versa, I can help you guys out as well. Send me an email of your business, what you guys are all about, to ramshowcase@gmail.com. And let's talk. Let's see if we can get some more sponsors for the show. We'll see, you know, how that goes. I tried this before. I tried this once before and did not go well. I got a couple of responses, but nobody was really interested. It's literally free advertising and people weren't interested. That's bananas to me. Whatever. Cause I'm not trying to make all like, I'm not trying to just, gouge people for cash or anything like that. I'm just trying to help some homies out. You know what I mean? And if you guys are Rams Showcase listeners, you're the homies. You fall under that category of being the homies. So we're going to hop into some news here. The first bit of news, it may not be the most exciting news, but unfortunately, we did hear yesterday, which was the 5th, that a construction worker at SoFi Stadium did fall and was pronounced dead on the scene. It's very unfortunate news. SoFi Stadium, it's almost feeling cursed at this point, with three more also employees being tested positive for COVID-19. I believe that was yesterday as well. That news, and a lot of COVID news, in fairness, is kind of slipping under the radar right now. So that wasn't necessarily something that was big. And then, of course, with the unfortunate passing of one of the workers, of course, this news was not necessarily at the forefront, especially considering a lot of the COVID-19, the positive tests are not necessarily of people who are really just, you know, like dying. So because of that, we didn't necessarily hear about it. I did hear, though, there was reports that construction was halted. I was not able to find how long the construction will be halted. I also was not able to find out more about the three gentlemen or employees, actually. I'm not even sure if they're all gentlemen, but the three employees that tested positive for COVID-19. I was not able to find more about that because this is gonna sound ridiculous, but I'm out of free articles from the LA Times. So if you guys are interested in learning more about that, feel free to head over to the LA Times. I want to say it was Arash who did the article on that one. I could be wrong there. Either way, Arash is an awesome reporter. I definitely respect that guy a lot. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation for sure. And our thoughts are definitely with the family members of this employee and his friends. I did hear that there is counseling available to any of the other employees. I mean, obviously, the stadium has been being worked on for quite some time. So, of course, we all know how it is at jobs. You become, you know, really good friends with those people. So there is counseling available if you happen to be one of those employees. I'm sure you guys would know about that by now. But there is counseling available to anybody dealing with that situation. So real sad news there. But SoFi Stadium looking like we're still on schedule and everything. But we just keep getting unfortunate news, you know, and it started with originally the area flooding, or not necessarily flooding, but just had too heavy of rains to continue to the construction process early on, which delayed the opening of the stadium a full year. So the Rams were supposed to be playing in the stadium last year. Of course, we all know that didn't happen. They were able to go back to the Coliseum, which was great, but it's unfortunate. And it's almost feeling like the stadium is cursed, guys. It's just a weird situation that we're dealing with that. So thoughts with his family for sure. So we're gonna go ahead and move on, though. We're gonna talk some trash about Skip Bayless. And Skip Bayless, I have his quote here. If you guys, I'm sure a lot of people heard about this, mainly because Aaron Donald responded to it. So a lot of people heard about it that way. But Aaron Donald, we all know that he's like a pretty good player. All right, he's pretty talented, I would say. And Skip Bayless, I think he disagrees a little bit. That well, let's start from the beginning. PFF posted their top 50 players, and Aaron Donald was number one. And that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I did have a Facebook friend of mine who mentioned that. He said that he would put Aaron Donald maybe fourth or fifth as far as top NFL players. And, I mean, my response to that was like, man, I thought you watched the game, man. And I'm trying not to sound like super Rams bias guy here, but, I mean, Aaron Donald, he's straight won games for the Rams. He's put the Rams in situations to win games. Without Aaron Donald, the Chiefs probably beat the Rams in 2018. Now, I mean, that probably by like a couple scores, I would say. Those turnovers were huge, thanks to Aaron Donald. And I'm sure there's a bunch more examples, guys. I'm sure you guys are sitting there like, come on, say this game. You know that game. Like, tell you, I'm sure there's plenty of examples of times where Aaron Donald was awesome. But Skip Bayless, his quote, he said, they don't need Aaron Donald because he's not that valuable. He does not play quarterback. I mean, my only real response to this is Dak really that valuable? I don't even think Dak's the best quarterback there anymore. Is he even there? He's not under contract, is he? I don't know. Either way, Skip sounding ridiculous, and it's like he doesn't even watch football, man. It's like he doesn't even watch. Absolutely ridiculous, Skip. Aaron Donald's response, why are you always hating on me, Skip? Skilp. I gotta do the Shannon thing. It's a thing, alright? I don't know. It's hardwired into my brain. I can't help it anymore. So, yeah, Skip Bayless, he thinks he's cool, and he's not, and he also doesn't think Aaron Donald's valuable. It's interesting, or not that valuable. Just a little bit. He's just a touch valuable. Whatever, Skip. Moving on, joint practices have been canceled. All joint practices league-wide are canceled. No more joint practices. Stay home, practice with yourself, all right? The Rams were scheduled to have joint practices with the Saints leading up to their very first home game at SoFi Stadium, of course, preseason game in week one of the preseason. Supposed to have joint practices leading up to that. That will no longer happen. And then in the second week of preseason, the Rams were scheduled to have joint practices with the LA Chargers, our roommates. And, of course, that cannot happen now either. And also, this is kind of an interesting one. I mean, it's not Rams-related necessarily. It's not at all, actually. But Dallas Cowboys not going to be in Oxnard because you have to now... The rules with all this coronavirus stuff is you got to be at home, basically. Practice at home. Practice by yourself. And I wanted to touch on this, too, because I'm hearing it a lot. And this has kind of been... It's been an interesting one. I keep hearing the name Cam Newton tied to the Rams. And there's some articles out there that are pretty aggressively bashing John Wolford. And I think, A, that's unnecessary. What did John Wolford do to you, first of all? And, I mean, let me put it this way. There's people out there, Rams fans and Rams coverers, it's not the right word, but whatever. There's people out there that think that the Rams, absolutely, it's 100% critical that the Rams get a backup quarterback. I just want to put it out there that last year, Johnny Hecker had more pass attempts than Blake Bortles. I mean, only one, and it was 3-4, but come on. I mean, until we see and until Jared Goff proves that he is not durable and can't play 16 games a season and or 17 when we get to next year, if he can't make it all the way through the season like Carson Wentz, that's when we need to really look at a backup quarterback. It's one of it is an important position, obviously, because if your quarterback goes out, you don't want to just your team just crumble. You don't want that. I don't think that's what would happen if John Wolford was the guy, though. I really don't. I really, really don't think that that's what would happen if John Wolford was the guy. The Rams also, I mean, there's a couple undrafted guys that the Rams brought in, but I think Wolford is still the best option of that. Blake Bortles is still a free agent. Cam Newton is still a free agent. But Cam Newton specifically, not only do I, like, he did admit now, he has come back around and said that he is okay with taking a backup quarterback job. That was not the story originally. But a backup quarterback can still make a decent amount of money. The Rams paid Blake Bortles, he had a $1 million contract last year, which is fine. That's totally acceptable contract for a guy like Bortles to be a backup. He threw three passes, though. Three passes. That means he made like $300,000 a pass attempt. So a guy like Cam Newton, if he was to be brought in by the Rams, I think we'd see a very similar situation. And of course, I can't predict the future. And I know you guys are out there saying right now, it's like, well, what if Goff does get hurt? He's not invincible and stuff. I get that. But until he proves that he's not durable, which he's literally not missed games due to injury in his career, like he came in, he was getting beat up this entire time, like especially his rookie season. He got beat up that year, was fine. He's been blasted by guys like Richard Sherman and stuff like that. We all know that. Every time he just pops back up. And I realize that backup quarterback's in an important position, but until Jared Goff shows that he's not reliable and can't make it through a season, that's not the most important position we need to worry about right now. And I guess my point, to wrap it all in, is there are other positions that are far more urgent in addressing than Jared Goff's backup. We don't need Jared Goff's backup right now. What we could use is some linebackers. We don't know who our kicker's going to be. There's some position battles on the offensive line. That would be cool to add a vet or two there. But, hey, I like our offensive line. I like our D-line, too. But a guy like A'shaun Robinson, I'm not sure how big of an impact he can have year one with us. Who knows? I think I would rather the Rams go out and sign another DT, a defensive tackle, than a backup quarterback. I would rather the Rams sign a veteran running back than a backup quarterback. I would rather see the Rams bring in maybe another corner than a backup quarterback. I would rather see the Rams bring in a left tackle, honestly, a backup left tackle, because I'm having some weird trust issues with Andrew Whitworth. Last year was his worst of his three with us. I would rather see the Rams bring in a veteran kicker than a backup quarterback. There's just a couple. So, can Cam Newton help the Rams offense? Maybe. But I don't think we'll ever know that answer for sure. I really don't think we'll ever know that answer. Let's talk about this Rams cap situation. We got a situation going on right now because everybody's panicked about the Rams cap. And I understand. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sit here and say you guys are like ridiculous for thinking that the Rams cap situation is weird, because it is. It absolutely is weird right now. But we're looking at about $41 million right now that the Rams have in available space for the 2021 season. And Whitworth, who I just mentioned, his cap hit for next year is $11 million. So, of course, you take that number out. You guys are pretty smart at home, I'm sure. It's 52 is what it puts us puts the Rams at. So $52 million, of course, the Rams are trying to sign Jalen Ramsey. Cooper Kupp is going to be up for a contract. So is John Johnson. So there are some decisions to make. Actually, there are a lot of decisions to make. Obviously, we don't have everybody under contract for next year. There are some names that are coming up, and those are the big ones. So we're going to stick to those names. We're going to stick to the John Johnson, Cooper Kupp, and Jalen Ramsey names. If I had to prioritize those based on the Rams roster, I would say that Ramsey and Johnson are the most important, although I do love Cooper Kupp, as most of you have probably noticed by now listening to my show, that I do. I am a Cooper Kupp fan, and I admit that. I'm okay with admitting that. I'm a fan of all the players, really. There's not necessarily any players that I'm like, ugh, I don't really like them. We got rid of all those guys that I didn't like, you know, the Sean Mannions and Dominican Sue, all those guys that I wasn't necessarily the biggest fans of, but, yeah, but we'll be at about 52. So there's talks of Ramsey, his cap hit going anywhere from like 18 to 20 right now. We talked about it last week, with SpotTrack has his market value in the 16s. I think it will be higher than that. But at the same time, I do think it'll be higher than that. I'm not going to say that SpotTrack usually goes a little higher because that's what Slay's making. Slay's in the 16s, and I think Ramsey's going to beat Slay as far as contract numbers go and averages. So I could see it absolutely being about 18 a year for Jalen Ramsey. So, I mean, you factor that in. I'm not sure how much John Johnson's going to get. I would say it'd probably be a little bit closer to the 12 to 14 range. And then Cooper Kupp, he could make a lot. He could actually be up in the 18 to 20 range as well. So that's where the Rams are going to have some decisions to make. And are they going to bring back all three of those guys? And especially, you don't want to just bring back the top, you know, 5% of your roster. You want to be able to have depth and all that. So there are some decisions to make, for sure. There's also, though, in the 2021 season, as it stands right now, there's only 9 players on the roster who have a cap hit bigger than $2 million. And those are the big names. Those are Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, you know what I mean? So Whitworth and stuff. Brock and there's the big names, and there's it's all a big chunk right there. And then obviously the Rams are eating a lot of cap in dead space this year and next year, just with some of the deals that they've done. So it's an interesting situation that we're watching, and it's one of those where, you know, the Rams, of course, we know that they paid a little bit more and a little bit early on some players. Have they learned their lesson? I like to think so, because if they didn't learn their lesson, then I would think that a guy like Jalen Ramsey would have already signed his extension. You know, we're in June now, so we're going to start opening up camps in about a month and stuff, and it's about when we have seen extensions for guys. And we see them in preseason too. I remember it was actually, I was in the parking lot of the Denver Broncos Stadium for a Rams preseason game when I got the news that Tavon Austin had signed his extension, that he had gotten his extension. So I mean, it was kind of cool. It was there, and it was like, hey, Tavon, he's in this building, and he just got a lot of money, you know. But that's kind of where I'm at with it, is I think that the Rams really have kind of learned their lesson. They're going to give John Johnson, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey, and others this year to show like that they should be here long term, and we'll see how that unfolds. We'll see, you know, when Tyler Higbee, near the end of last season, I'm sure we all remember, Tyler Higbee just was crushing it. Like in the last four or five games, he had more receiving yards than he had his entire career in just a couple of games. And during that time, we not only saw the production numbers of Cooper Kupp dwindle, we also saw his snaps dwindle a little bit. So I'm really curious to see how the deployment of these weapons goes. Is Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett, are they going to be on the field a lot together? Is it going to be a lot of four wide receiver sets? We've seen it before. We all know that the Rams like to sit with the three wide receivers, which is, of course, this year going to be a lot of Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Josh Reynolds. We know that, but Van Jefferson, a lot of people are really high on him, especially in the building. So that's going to be one to watch. And I think that'll be a little bit of a rotation going on there. But overall, I think that this is one of those years where we are going to see, you know, like if we think that we can still win games without guys like Cooper Kupp because of guys like Van Jefferson and Josh Reynolds, then that could definitely play into the decision. And in the secondary, the Rams have some good depth in the secondary. Jalen Ramsey, I think, is, if I had to put a person of the most important of next year that the Rams need to bring back, I would say it's Jalen Ramsey. To be able to take out, or at least have a guy that you can confidently say can handle the other opposing team's number one weapon, I think that's absolutely huge. So I think that Jalen Ramsey is the most important person to bring back. We'll see. John Johnson, it's unfortunate that his season was cut short, but I think John Johnson's an amazing player, amazing safety. In my opinion, one of the best in the NFL. I would put him, you know, in that three to five range if I had to place him myself. So, yeah, well, the cap situation is, it is interesting, but it's also, it's not as bad as people think. It's just kind of like the offensive line. Everybody's kind of sitting here like, the Rams only went one offensive lineman in the draft and it was the last pick. What are we doing? We're not going to win anything. That's just not the case. We had some injuries last year. You know, guys like Noteboom are coming back. And I know that there's some other websites that are projecting guys like Corbett to beat out Noteboom. I'm not sure if that's necessarily true. But then Brian Allen obviously comes back from injury. But Austin Blythe can play in that position. So there's basically, besides left tackle, I would say the other positions are kind of open in a way, from left guard to right tackle. I would say all those four positions are open for the taking, but they're open for good reason, not because we can't find anybody to play those roles, so we'll just see who's the best, but because we have so many guys who we can throw into those positions and that they can be productive. That I think that's a sweet spot to be in. You have too many good players. And that's just my opinion. I know some people think that the offensive line is absolute trash right now. I just can't relate to that, because I think that especially near the end of the season, they were the way that Evans and Edwards coming in as rookies, the way they were playing on that right side was great. Blythe obviously is now, he's a better center than he is a right guard. And when that move got made, then I think that the offensive line improved a lot. And I'm not down on Brian Allen, but I think Blythe is a better center. But Brian Allen is basically only a center. So will Brian Allen stick around? I'm not sure. Corbett and No Boom could both play that left guard spot. It's kind of like I'm kind of getting the vibes that No Boom won't bump out to tackle. I'm kind of getting those vibes. I'm kind of getting vibes that when Witt leaves, that Evan's going to switch over to left tackle, not Note Boom slide out one spot. That's kind of what I'm feeling. We'll see if I'm right, see if I'm wrong. It's okay either way. I know that if I'm wrong, though, you guys will definitely let me know. It's time, though. Let's get into some fan quesos. This is some good stuff here. We got some good ones. I pre-screened all of these this time, so I actually know what they say. Which is great news, guys. I'm making a lot of progress over here now that I'm pre-screening my questions so I can actually have a little bit of an answer for people. First question here, Gary wants to know, will we rock with the kids at QB or sign a vet? I absolutely think we rock with the kids. I think Jared Goff obviously is the starter. I don't know why I was going to say, like, explain that Jared Goff will be the starter. But I think Wolford, I think he's going to be a fine backup. I don't have any issues with Wolford being the backup myself. I really don't. And it's not just because of Goff's track record of not being hurt, but also because, I mean, I was a pretty big AAF guy. I know most of you guys, a lot of you guys at least, were big XFL people, not necessarily AAF people. But Wolford, playing for the Arizona Hotshots, he played great. I would say he was the best quarterback in the AAF, which I realize is like, that's like mildly impressive to be the best player or the best quarterback in a league that didn't even last a year. You know what I mean? So I get that, but he was playing fine. And Arizona was a pretty strong team. And I have zero issues with John Wolford being the Rams backup. If Wolford has to come in, I'm not like in like a we're still like we're Super Bowl bound kind of position, but I'm not like we're screwed, we're gonna get the first overall pick kind of position either. So I mean, be where you're at. You're allowed to have your own opinions, guys, but that's where I'm at. I think a Wolford's gonna be fine, so I think we stick with the kids. Thanks, Gary. Next couple here from MJ. Which rookie will make the biggest impact this year? I think that's a pretty simple answer, honestly. Cam Akers. I want to say Van Jefferson, and I would love to say Van Jefferson, but I wouldn't be honest, because I don't think that it's going to be Van Jefferson over Cam Akers. Van Jefferson, I think, obviously, I'm liking Van Jefferson. I'm really interested to see what he does this year. But I think Cam Akers, because the Rams kind of have, not necessarily a controversy, but they have guys that they can just kind of throw in, and I think Cam Akers really just fits the scheme, man. And Malcolm Brown does too, but Malcolm Brown's not necessarily that flashy. He does have flashy plays. Obviously, like that touchdown he had in New Orleans where he's like tiptoeing on the sideline, reaches out. I use that clip like a billion times in some of my videos, but I stand by it. I don't care. But I think Cam is going to be that guy for us this year. I think he's going to be I would say he's probably going to be our leading rusher. I don't think he'll hit 1,000 because I don't think he's going to start the season. I think Malcolm Brown starts week one. I can confidently say that I can see Cam Akers hitting 8 to 850 this year. I feel pretty good about that, actually. Next one here from MJ. Will anyone on the team surprise us with their play this year? Man, I hope so. Because the Rams roster is pretty strong still. It's a little bit top heavy, but it's still a strong roster. And I mean, if the Rams can avoid the injury bug this year, I like our chances to do some good things. As far as players that could like have a big impact and kind of surprise us, I think I don't think there's enough people on the Josh Reynolds train. I think that Josh is going to surprise some people, I feel pretty confident in that. And then also Troy Hill. I think Troy Hill, I've liked Troy Hill for a long time, and I'm still honestly a little bit confused at why other people are kind of not on the Troy Hill train with me yet. He's played fine. Every time he's had to start, he's played fine. And yeah, I'm liking Troy. There's also I live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and there's a street called Troy Hill Drive or Troy Hill Road. I kind of want to take it, but I can't because that's illegal. Whatever. Well, at least I can't admit it to you guys that I would do that. But either way, I think Troy Hill and Josh Reynolds are two huge candidates for that spot, though, man, as far as surprises. MJ also wants to know, who will our captains be? Witt is going to be a captain. Jared's going to be a captain. I would say Jalen will probably be a captain. He's a leader, man. He is definitely a leader. I think there's definite, obviously we want to look at like AD, Hecker. Hecker is probably captain, especially in that, as a special teams guy. McQuaid would be a great captain, but I think Hecker with the C on his chest just makes sense. And then, I mean, those are the guys who I would say will have like the best chance, but there's obviously, John Johnson would be a candidate, and maybe Robert Woods. So there's definitely some leaders on this team, but if I had to give you, I'll just give you five names of, and we'll do two offensive, two defensive in the special teams. The special teams, I'm going Johnny Hecker. Defense, I would say it's going to go to Ramsey and Donald. And then on the offensive side of the football, I'm going to go Jared and Andrew. So Witt and Goff, and I don't necessarily, I'm not taking a shot at Woods or anything like that, but I think that Witt and Goff just make more sense as captains on the offense. Next one here from MJ. If there were to be a surprise starter, who would it be? Apparently Troy Reader, since everybody lost it on me. And it's fine. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to disagree with me. I'm not trying to say like, hey, don't dispute what I'm saying. I like Troy Reader. I thought he played fine. Honestly, I truly think that. Watching him play, I know you guys told me to watch, and I did. I mean, I like him against the pass. I mean, I don't know. I like Troy. Troy Reader's fine to me. But as far as a surprise, I would say apparently that's one. I don't really think so. There was one website that had Corbett starting over Noteboom at left guard. I don't necessarily see that happening though. There's not necessarily a lot of surprises. We don't know any of the linebackers right now. We don't know who's going to start at linebacker, basically in any position. We feel pretty confident that Floyd will start, but we don't know if Abukam's going to start or if it's going to be Okoronkwo. We don't know if it's going to be Reader, Kaiser, or some of the other guys that we brought in. Trying to think. I don't think so, man. I think it's pretty straightforward this year, actually. Like I said, we're top heavy. We have our starters mostly in place, and I mean our depth isn't that dope right now, but I think our starters are pretty much set. So I would say that. Paul wants to know, what's up, Paul? What is the best episode of Ram Showcase ever? He says, I feel like you're going to say the next one. It's always the next one, Paul. The next episode's always the best episode. But I'll admit, there's days that I feel a little off, like where I finish the recording and I'm like, ugh. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I wasn't necessarily feeling that one. And there was one time, it actually wasn't that long ago, I did that. I finished the show completely. I started, finished the show. And I was like, you know what? Not feeling it. Deleted it and just re-recorded the whole thing. Just started over completely. You guys will never know which one it is. But, yeah. And the original's gone, so I had to re-record it. The second I hit delete, it was like, well, too late now. Better start again, I guess. But actually, if I had to give you an answer of a show that's already been recorded and published, I really loved my one-year anniversary show. That was a good one. I liked that. Basically, what it was is I asked a bunch of people to call in and tell me why you love the Rams. I said, tell me who you are, where you're from, and why you love the Rams, and just let people go. And that was awesome. That was so much fun. I don't listen to it anymore. If you guys feel free, because it's still published, feel free to go find it. I don't listen to it anymore. The very first person on it is Kyle. And it's still a little hard to listen to, I guess. If you guys aren't aware, he's the reason these are called the Fan Quesos. The little backstory on that, again, it's been a while since I've explained why they're called Fan Quesos. Kyle was, he was a big supporter of mine when I was just writing about the Rams, not doing the podcast. So, I mean, this podcast is over 4 years old. He was with me. He was a fan supporter and all that stuff before all this started. And when I started the show, he really loved it. And I just did a fan question segment where I, you know, ask questions, whatever. And he would always ask me, he's like, what is whatever player's favorite kind of cheese? And, it's just like some examples was like, he asked, Aaron Donald, what kind of cheese is Aaron Donald? I said, he's just a brick of cheese. Cause he's a brick, man. I think he asked me Jared Goff, and I said Swiss cheese because he's always finding the holes in the defense. And so, like, it was just fun, man. And then, unfortunately, Kyle has passed away. And it's been a few years now, but it still sucks, man. I'm still not, like, thrilled about that. And it's still hard because he was one of my biggest supporters. And he's not the only one since I've started this. But he was definitely my biggest one of all of that, so... That's why they're called fan cases in the first place. But that is the best episode, in my opinion. I think that's the best one I've done. I would love to do it again. And unfortunately, now that I'm, you know, a full-time student and everything, graduating soon. But now it's hard to find time to do stuff like that, to take in all those calls and then edit them all together and stuff. That was a big project, a very big project. It took me quite some time. So unfortunately right now, I don't necessarily have the time, but October is my graduation date. So hopefully some time opens up after that. We'll see what happens with work though. Because the plan is to graduate and get super busy with work and just hop into that world. So thank you for your question, Paul. Top training camp storylines. This one's from Paul also. The top training camp storylines, definitely some position battles, man. The linebackers, we don't know any of the linebackers who's going to start. So, middle linebacker for sure. And Staley, new defensive coordinator, he has said that he's been pretty open about it. He's like, it's open competition at linebacker. We're totally open competition. See who's the best. So I like that. And that's along the offensive line as well. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, from left guard to right tackle, all those positions I think are open. Because, I mean, you look at left guard, that could be Corbett or Noboom. Center could be Allen or Blythe. Right guard could be Blythe or Edwards. Right tackle could be Havenstein or Evans. You know what I mean? So it's, or even Edwards there potentially too. So, I mean, there's position battles all over the place, and those are that's going to be the storyline. And unfortunately, with all the stuff that's going on, it's difficult. It's going to be difficult for some of these guys, especially the younger guys, to necessarily, like, they're gonna have a harder time competing in those position battles because, especially the rookies, because those are, like, they don't know what the process looks like. At least if you were here at least a year ago, you kind of know what's expected. It's still Sean McVay's team, even though new defensive coordinator and bringing in an offensive coordinator, it's different, but it's still Sean McVay's team. You still are going to have an understanding of how the practices are going to run and what's expected and stuff like that. So from that standpoint, man, I think the advantage goes to the vets when it comes to these position battles, but that is the biggest story. And along the offensive line, we've got some good battles. And the linebackers are going to be some good battles as well. Other than that, running back, I would say, is a position battle, but I don't think that's going to be decided in preseason or in training camp. I do think that's going to be decided in the beginning of the regular season. I think Malcolm Brown starts the season. I think we see a lot of Daryl Henderson, but I also think Cam Akers, the rookie, I think he gets into the action too. And I think by about week 5, 6, we're going to see who's breaking out of that. Like, who's standing out above the rest at the running back position, and that's who I just think that the Rams will go with at the running back spot. As far as, like, a bulk of the carries thing, I think it's going to be a decently even split, but I do think that Malcolm Brown's technically the starter for the beginning of the season. Ben wants to know, who will be our starting linebackers? I get this question every single week. It's cool. You're allowed to keep asking this. And I'm going to keep saying Troy Reader just to make everybody mad. I don't even care. Troy Reader, number one. I don't know why. I just have, like, some wild support for Troy Reader. Maybe I should try to get him on the show or something. That'd be fun. I think Micah Kizer is definitely going to be a starter. I think he absolutely takes that starting role. And then Mark Barron. I'm just kidding. I know somebody was sitting there thinking he's going to say it. I did. Had to. I have to say Mark Barron at least once a show. I don't know why. It's because he's awesome. As far as the outside linebackers, though, I think the edge rushers, we're going to see a pretty heavy rotation with, I believe. I think, you know, Abukam and Okoronkwo will basically split. I think Floyd gets the bulk of those, like, on one side. You don't bring in a guy like Floyd if he's not going to play. You know, that's just not what you do. So, I think it's going to be, as far as edge, I think it's going to be heavy rotation. We got some good edge rushers, and those are the three that I'm going to keep naming, because those are the three that I think are the most important and who will get the most snaps is Floyd, Abukam, and Okoronkwo. As far as middle linebacker, I really, really, truly believe it's going to be Reeder and Kizer. I could be wrong, and that's okay. I'm allowed to be wrong. It happens. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we'll see, but that's my guess. Heavy rotation at edge, Kizer, Reeder. Ian wants to know. Ian's a Broncos fan. Ian wants to know, where do you see the Rams record-wise trending over the next 3 years? Great question. Obviously a difficult question to answer. We don't know what's going to happen, but to answer your question in a way that actually answers it, I feel pretty good about the Rams starters right now. I don't feel pretty good about the Rams depth right now. I think that we're pretty top heavy, and that sucks. But I think that over the next couple of off seasons, I think depth is really going to be addressed. I think that the Rams kind of are understanding that maybe don't go for just one guy who's super sick, and instead maybe get two or three that are pretty sick. I think that's a good philosophy, I think. And we have not taken that approach. Ever since moving to LA, I feel like the Rams' whole personality changed. The whole way they approach everything, I think, completely changed. And maybe that was on purpose. Maybe the Rams were on purpose kind of like, I don't want to say soft, but like a little bit more conservative in St. Louis. And right now they're a little bit more like, hey, let's bring some people in, let's pay them some cash, let's do this, let's win some ball games, and hey, got them to a Super Bowl. I mean, that's pretty big. So now in LA and in St. Louis, the Rams have been to two Super Bowls from each city, so four if you can count that at home. As far as this goes, I think that this season we're going to see what Sean McVay is all about. After the Super Bowl loss, people kind of figured out that he loves to do the zone run and do the play action outside levels off of the zone run. I mean, and once you figure that out, you kind of got Sean McVay pegged a little bit. And I think that bringing in an offensive coordinator is a huge move for McVay. So we'll see how that kind of unfolds. But this is the year that we find out if Sean McVay is dope or not. If he's not, then this trend is not going to necessarily go well. If he is an amazing coach, then, that's the way it goes. If he's an amazing coach, we're going to see him make those adjustments. We're going to see the offense change a little bit and maybe go more run heavy, which is, I mean, not necessarily ideal considering we don't know who's going to break out at the running back position, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we can figure out who's going to break out the running back position. I think too many times last year, McVay just blew off the run. It didn't work. Three plays. Okay, let's just pass now. But still run play action. That was kind of frustrating. But I think that's also part, like, this is McVay's first head coaching job. You got to learn some stuff on the fly. You can't just enter your first job and just know exactly how everything's going to go and it just be amazing. That's just not possible. So we'll see. But if I had to guess, I would say I think that the Rams are a good strong 10-11 win team this year. I really do. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Rams fan. And it's tough, man. That's a really tough question to answer. It's really hard to look that far into the future. But I would say that this team for the next 3 years can win 10-11 games. As long as the Rams have guys like Aaron Donald and Jared Goff, And you guys can say what you want about Jared Goff. I know some people still don't like him. Some people still want Carson Wentz, even though he just doesn't finish seasons because he's hurt. But as long as like those core pieces are in place, and if we can keep guys like Ramsey and Johnson and potentially Kupp, I mean, I don't see any reason, and especially like with if in that situation that if like Witt can retire and somebody like Evans or Edwards or Noteboom can slide into that left tackle spot and be productive, then I feel pretty good too. But if Witt leaves and Evans takes over that role and then looks like Alex Barron, then that's going to be tough for Jared, because we've seen it. Jared performs best when he's got plenty of time and he's not under pressure. So, I mean, we know that now, I mean, he was a 2016 pick. He's under his second contract. We know now that Jared Goff, if you can pressure him early and get him kind of rattled, he's a little off the whole day. And that's one thing that I've noticed, and I've talked about it here actually before, is when Jared Goff, when he doesn't look good in the first quarter, he's just not going to have a good game. Like, he has a hard time busting out of that. And so when he comes in quarter one, drive one, Rams are rocketing down the field, he's hitting Woods for 25 and then Kupp for 30, you know, we get a run for like 7 and then he does another play action, hits Higbee for 12, you know what I mean? Like, that, when that happens on the first drive, I feel real good. If that doesn't happen on the first drive and the Rams go 3 and out, I'm like, oh man, we are probably not going to win. This is because he has a hard time breaking out of that, you know? So I think the first drive for Goff is like the biggest tell in the world. If you can throw off Goff for the first drive, your chances on your defensive side are looking pretty strong, actually. And that's unfortunate. So we'll see if Jared can fix that too. Because, I mean, what happens if he is just awesome after that? Like, he can adjust. What if he makes that next step? Which is what we're looking for. We're looking for Jared Goff to make that next step. We're looking for Jared to be the reason we are winning games, not just a reason we're losing them. Does that make any sense? Like, we need Jared Goff to be the guy that's making, like, helping the Rams win games, not just trying to be conservative enough to not lose the game. Play to win. Don't play not to lose. And we need Jared to be able to do that. And I don't necessarily say he's there yet. I would say he's getting there. 2018, I was kind of thinking that he was there, but it just didn't necessarily pan out that way last year. One more question here. This one comes from Jason. Jason wants to know, if our offensive line stays healthy, I would like to know where you think they will rank. I think our success depends on them, and I'm curious how good you feel they could be if they stay healthy. I think we have an awesome offensive line. I'll be completely honest. I've been honest about that, and I've been vocal about that, that this Rams offensive line is not nearly as bad as some fans believe it is. And part of that was because last year we had some injuries. You know, Brian Allen goes down, starting center, and everybody was like, no, the center is down. It's over. And then Blythe came in and played better than Allen did. And then because Blythe had to slide over from right guard, it was like, oh, we lost our center, and now we're going to have a different right guard. It's going to be this rookie, David Edwards. He played great. He played better than Blythe did in that spot. Havenstein goes down, and everybody's like, no, a tackle? We lost our right tackle? What's going to happen? This is going to be terrible. And then Bobby Evans came in and played better than Havenstein did. So everybody's freaking out, and everybody stayed on their initial impression. When Allen went down, they thought that the center position was going to get weaker. It didn't matter what Blythe did. They held on to that belief that the center position was weaker. When Blythe had to move over to center at the right guard spot, and we had a rookie playing in that spot, everybody jumped to the conclusion that because he was a rookie, he wasn't going to be as good as Blythe at right guard, and it didn't matter what Evan Edwards did in that spot. They stuck to their initial impression that Edwards wasn't going to be as good as Blythe. And then the same thing at right tackle, where Havenstein went down, and Havenstein was not even playing that well. And Havenstein went down because he was a tackle, getting replaced by a rookie. Everybody just assumed that it was going to be worse. It wasn't. It was much better. Evans played much better than Havenstein last year, but nobody cared about that. They only cared about their initial response, their initial reaction to the injury, which was that position's going to get worse. Those three spots specifically. And then you look at the left guard spot, where Nopum wasn't necessarily playing poorly, but when he got hurt, it was another thing of, who the heck is Austin Corbett? He's not better than Joseph Nopum, who also nobody knew when we drafted him, by the way. The internet was insane that day when it was like, there was Rams, like popular Rams publications, straight just bashing the team because of the Nopum pick. But Nopum goes down, replaced with Austin Corbett, and everybody's like, Nopum's out. It's all done. It's all Corbett. Who the heck is Austin Corbett? He got cut by the Browns. He's no good. Played way better. So I don't think it's necessarily nearly as bad as people think it is. And those guys that came in to replace, I think they all played better. I mean, obviously Blythe was already a starter, but he's a better center than he is a right guard. So overall, I think through the injuries, the Rams offensive line got better last year. But everybody already had their opinions. Everybody already figured that Nopum was way better than Corbett because they didn't know Corbett's name. They already assumed that Blythe was not as good as Brian Allen because Brian Allen's a center. That's all the only position he plays. He doesn't play guard, so he's a better center. That wasn't the case. Edwards was a rookie, so why would he be better than Blythe at right guard? Well, Blythe's a better center than he is a right guard, and Edwards played amazing. Havenstein, same thing again. Being replaced by a rookie, how could this rookie be better than Havenstein? First of all, Havenstein had a bad year. He was not playing well. Evans played great. So no, I don't think this offensive line is nearly as bad as people think it is. I think that the injuries, I think they made the offensive line better. I really think they did. So, thank you for your fan quesos, guys. I appreciate y'all. Let me see if there's I just want to make sure there's no more popping in. Good. No more. That's it. That is it. Hope you guys don't hate me now, because most people hate me now for my answers. It's all good, though. You're allowed to. It's all good. And, yeah. For you YouTube audience, make sure you guys stick around after the video. We will be having a trivia question for you guys. If you guys are audio listeners, make sure you guys head over to the Ram Showcase YouTube channel. And if the episode's not there, just give it a couple minutes because I will be publishing it shortly after the audio version. So head over to the Ram Showcase YouTube channel and check out this trivia question. See if you can win something from Shaw's Customs. Shaw's Customs, again, that's Etsy.com/shop/Shaw's Customs. And yeah, you can pick out some Ram stuff, some Carol Baskin stuff. Everybody knows about the Lion King or whatever, Tiger King. Same thing. Whatever. I don't care. I hated it with my whole heart. I watched the whole thing and was so mad at myself when it ended. Mainly because there's no one to like. There's no one that you can be like, you know what? I'm glad that they did that. No, because they all sucked. All of them. It was bad all around. But you can do that. You can get some Joe Exotic stuff. Real big hit for the Joes with Joe Exotic. Joe's took a big L on that one. But Joe Burrow going number one overall and winning the Heisman, that one helps. Joe Rogan with his Spotify deal, that helps too. So we'll see if, I'm not political in any capacity at all, but if Joe wins the presidency, that would be a big win for the Joes for sure. Especially the Joe B's. Joe Burrow, Joe Bags, Joe Biden, Joe B's are big. Big, popular, and awesome. But you YouTubers, you stick around for this trivia question. For you audio listeners, make sure you guys head over to the Ram Showcase YouTube channel. That is going to do it for me. Make sure you guys follow the Ram Showcase on all of your favorite social media. That would be at Ram Showcase on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Ram Showcase. You can follow me as well at Sheriff Joe Bags on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Sheriff Joe Bags. Yeah, that's about it, I think. Subscribe to the YouTube channel for sure. It's right there, so make sure you guys do that. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio. For those of you that aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you that are Rams fans, thank you guys so much for listening, and you guys have a great night.